Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 37. We'll read the last two verses of Psalm 37. Verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him. All right. Let's stand as Isaac comes and leads us to the call to worship.
Still keep me near to thy wounded side. 'Tis only there in safety and peace I can abide. What foes and snares surround me, what lusts and fears within. The grace that sought and found me alone can keep me. Steadfast shall endure. Thine arm the victory gaineth o'er every hurtful foe. Thy love my heart sustaineth in all its care and woe. Soon shall my eyes behold thee with rapture face to face. The half hath not been told me of all thy power and grace. Thy beauty, Lord, and glory, the wonders of thy love, shall be the endless story of all thy saints above.
Page 85. Radiant beam from thy holy face.
your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Let's begin reading in verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And he was coming to the ship. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. We'll end our reading there. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for thy word. Lord, bless us as we've gathered here together this morning. And Lord, thy people in all places, Lord, where men whom you've raised up to preach your gospel, and thy people whom you've called to hear, Lord, bless the preaching and hearing of thy word. Bless us to know more of the Savior. Bless us to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray you'd grant us your presence here this morning. Lord, set aside the thoughts and cares of this world. Lord, let us see more of our Savior. And Lord, in all that's said and done, Lord, may it be to thy glory. Lord, get glory to thy name. We pray thee for Christ's sake. Amen.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. And he beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and magnify your King. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song and glorify the King.
To glorify the King, those last, that's our desire. Thank you all for singing and playing. Open your Bibles back to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Our text will come from the first 20 verses of Mark 5. But let's read a few verses here in Mark chapter 4, leading up to this. Mark 4, we're beginning with verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, our Lord spoke to his disciples, and he said unto them, he said, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was in the hinder part of the ship while all this was going on. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, just as he could say to us, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Our Lord said, let us pass over to the other side. And he said this to his disciples. They'd been with him. They had seen many great wonders done. They had heard him speak peace many times. And he said, let's pass over to the other side. On the other side of the sea is the country of the Gadarenes. And it's there that one of his sheep, there may have been others, but we read of this one in particular. There's one of his sheep, and he said, let's pass over. But during that time on that boat, the disciples were in this boat, his disciples again. And this fellow pointed me out to this recently. A lot of these guys were fishermen, these disciples. So this storm that came up, it's not like it's the first time they had ever seen a storm out on the sea. But they grew quickly. They grew fearful. And while our Lord was sleeping, while this storm was raging, they grew fearful, and they went to the master, and they woke him, and they said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And our Lord, he went and he rose up, and he rebuked the wind and the sea and said, "Peace. Peace be still." And we read that there was a great calm. Just through a few words. "Peace be still." And there was a great, great calm. Through his word, there was a great calm. And I pray our Lord might be pleased today, do the same for us this morning, as he often does when we gather to hear his word, that he might speak through his word and calm our troubled hearts. He said, "Let's go to the other side." Should there have ever been, and we have doubts and fears, but should there ever have been any doubt to his disciples? I mean, when he said that, "Let us pass over to the other side," is there any question as far as that ship making it to the other side, no matter how great the storm might appear to be? Remember Paul, he was taking that voyage back there in Acts 27. And it was revealed unto him that ship was going to be destroyed. And Paul said, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." And you know every last one of them. If you read to the end of that, you take time today and read Acts 20. I believe it's Acts 27. But we read the very end of it. And it said, "Some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship." All of them. Every last one of them was delivered. And the truth, that truth has not changed. All whom God the Father has chose, all the for whom Christ died, all for whom the Spirit reveals himself to, each one is going to be delivered. Let there be no question in that. He said, "Let's pass over to the other side." Look at verse 1 of Mark chapter 5. What happened? He said, "Let's pass over," and what happened? "And they came over unto the other side of the sea." What he promised, he'll do. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. They came to the other side of the sea. What Almighty God declares, he declares the end from the beginning, huh? From ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure." What he's determined to do, that he'll do. "The Lord of hosts hath purposed it, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out. Who's going to turn it? Who's going to turn it back? Truly, what manner of man is this?" He's God. He's Almighty God in human flesh. And here in Mark 5, verse 1, our Lord comes to save one of his sheep. And listen, nothing's going to keep him from that. Nothing's going to stop him from his purpose. So let's look at this passage together here this morning. In these first five verses of Mark 5, I believe we see something of our natural condition. Our condition by nature. Look with me at verse 1. "They came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. First, we see this. This man had an unclean spirit. This is how we're described, much like we're described in the Scriptures. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, we read this: "We are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness are as filthy rags, and our iniquities, like the wind, has taken us away." Unclean. Unclean. Could there be a better word to describe a sinner? Unclean. In our best works, all of our righteousness, if we could take all of it, if we could take all of our best works and combine them together, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? No. It would be filthy rags in the sight of Almighty God. Nothing but filthy rags. We are all as an unclean thing. From the sole of the foot, even to the top of the head, there's no soundness in it. Nothing but wounds and bruises, and putrefying sores. They've not been clothed. Haven't been closed up. They haven't been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In verse 3, we read this man, he had his dwelling. He was unclean, and he had his dwelling among the tombs. Who dwells in the tombs? Dead men. Dead men dwell in the tombs. That's our condition. And that's where he found each and every one of us. That's where he'll find each and every one of his sheep, dead in trespasses and sin. We read, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." There's no cleaning ourselves up and making ourselves presentable to God. This is where he finds us, dead in trespasses and sin. Like that infant we read about back there in Ezekiel, cast out into the open field. How was that infant described? Huh? Polluted in our own blood, yet Almighty God, in mercy, is pleased to speak life. Life to a dead sin. You hath he quickened. You hath he given life who were dead in trespasses and sin. Next we read that no man could bind him. Huh? They tried. Obviously they tried. We read in verse 4, he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder. The fetters broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. You know, men use religion to bind. Men use the law to bind. But and I guess on the outwardly, it works to some degree as far as the outward appearance. But here's the problem. My problem's not on the outside. My problem's on the inside. It's who and what I am. It doesn't change the heart. Religion doesn't change the heart. The law doesn't change the heart. Outwardly, we keep the law. Outwardly, maybe we refrain from certain things and keep certain days. But that same old man still dwells within. That same wicked heart still beats in this chest, and it's kind of like a lion in a cage. You know, as long as that lion's in a cage, you can walk by. You can walk by with your kids, and you can do all manner of things. And that lion can't hurt you when it's in the cage. The problem is when it comes out. That lion comes out of the cage. This Gadarene man, listen, he couldn't do anything for himself. He couldn't, and there was nothing that man could do for him. He's helpless. He's on the surface, he would appear to be hopeless. He wore no clothes. In Luke's account, we read that he wore no clothes. This man wore no clothes. He had no covering. Adam and Eve, they tried to knit some fig leaves together, didn't they, to try and cover their nakedness? But listen, that wouldn't do, would it? No, God had to make them coats of skin. God had to clothe them. God had to cover their nakedness. And that's where we're found, by nature, without a covering. Without a covering. Our natural condition is declared. Sinners. Sinners. Unclean, uncovered, dead in trespasses and sin. And if we read on here in Mark 5, we see Christ revealed. Look at verse 6 of Mark chapter 5. It says, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him. When he saw him, in Proverbs 20 and verse 12, we read, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. This man's been given an eye to see Christ. I read of, I don't know how many people were there or around, but we read of one to whom the Lord was pleased to reveal himself to. And this man, it says, he ran to him. He made haste. Wouldn't we be wise? Wouldn't we be wise to do the same? To run, listen, to run to the Savior, and to fall at his feet, to worship him. He's seen him. Job said this. He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And when he saw him again, he ran and he worshiped. Nothing indicates a word had even been spoken. Yet this one who dwelt among the tombs, this one who couldn't be bound with chains, he runs to Christ and worships. He makes haste and falls at his feet. There's a sense of urgency, isn't there? There was for this man. He ran. Remember Philip and that eunuch? When God sent Philip, said he made haste. We read that a few times in the scripture. To make haste. That's what we do when something's critical, isn't it? When someone's hurting and they need help, we don't want someone just lollygagging and taking their time. We need help and need it now. He made haste. And he falls at his feet. And third, we see something of God's sovereignty. Look at verse 7 and 8, Mark 5. It says, he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now there's much written in the commentaries about this unclean spirit. And this is what I know. Okay, this is what the scriptures declare, and I know this. Back there in chapter 4, our Lord, He displayed His sovereign power over creation when He spoke to the wind and the waves, and He said, "Peace be still." His power over His creation is revealed, and when He spoke and He said, "Peace be still," remember what His disciples said? They said, "What manner of man? What manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey Him." He's sovereign. He's sovereign in all things. And just as He displayed His sovereignty over creation, He's going to display that same power again with this man and with this spirit. He speaks. When our Lord speaks, He speaks in power. Just as He spoke to Lazarus. Remember when Lazarus was in the grave? His body had laid there so long that it began to smell. It began to stink. Death had settled on him. Well, what happened? Our Lord spoke in power. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." What happened? He that was dead came forth. Our Lord speaks in power. And He declares this. He says this of this spirit: "Come out of this man, thou unclean spirit." Is there any question as to what's going to happen? Huh? It's going to, listen, He commands it to come out, and it's going to come out. This evil spirit, it can do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ giving it leave. Turn over to Job chapter 1. Job 1, look at verse 8, beginning with verse 8. "The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Nothing. Nothing is done without God's consent, without His decree. Not even an evil spirit going into a herd of pigs, and drowning in the sea. Nothing. Nothing takes place. Back to Mark 5. Look at verse 9. And he asked him, he said, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we're many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. Now look at verse 15. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. And he that had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. My fourth point. Here we see a new man. Could that be the same man that we read about earlier in this passage of Scripture? Huh? They came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Here's what they found. This man that he's sitting. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. And what's the people's response? They were afraid. Here he is sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. No chains? Huh? Listen, he's not bound anymore. He's clothed. He has a covering now. And in his right mind. Turn to Isaiah 61. Look at verse 10 of Isaiah 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Clothed in beauty, not my own, huh? Clothed with the garment of salvation. Covered with the robe of righteousness. Back there in Ezekiel, that infant that was cast out into the open field, that one that was polluted in her own blood, that one to whom the Lord was pleased to speak life, he said, when I passed by thee, And looked upon thee. Behold, you know when I see gory things, I look for a minute, but I want to turn my head. You know, there's things you just don't want to see. What was this? He said, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, when I saw thee laying there out in the open field, polluted in thy own blood, he said it was a time of love. Time of love. And he said, I spread my skirt over thee, and I covered thy nakedness, and I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. We're his. Huh? Clothed him. And that's what he did for this man. He clothed him. He made him his own. Clothed in his righteousness. And back in our text, we see this. He was in his right mind. He's not what he was he? Huh? No more. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. You have 1 Corinthians 6. Look beginning with verse 9. This man's not what he was anymore. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty tough list, isn't it? Huh? But look what he says here. Look at verse 11. Such were some of you. But, don't we love that word in Scripture? But, you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This man that dwelt among the tombs, this man with the unclean spirit, this man that could not be bound, he now sits at the feet of the Master. Doesn't that give us hope? A good hope? A sure hope? He now sits at the place of submission. Turned from darkness to light. Turned from the power of sin and Satan. And he now sits at the feet of the Lord Jesus. A new man with a new desire. And listen, he no longer desires to dwell among the tombs. Huh? This desire is much different than the desire of most of the folks in that town. His desire is to be with the Lord. Isn't that what we read here? But listen, sadly, that's not everyone's response. Not everyone's response to the Savior. Let's read on here in Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 16. And they that saw it, they were there. They saw this. They that saw it, you see that? They told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil. They told about what they saw. And also concerning the swine. But listen, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Instead of marveling at this great work that had been done, instead of giving glory to the Lord Jesus Christ for what had been accomplished in this man, instead of praising him and begging mercy for their own souls, think of the terrible condition this Gadarene man was in. And they had saw this. There's no way this was a secret. Huh? The people of that town had saw this. I'm sure they probably talked about him down at the barber shop. What a horrible man this fellow was. Look what's been done in him. Look what's been done for him. Huh? But what was their desire? That Christ depart. Huh? Listen, they were more concerned about those swine and about this disruption to their community than they were for the souls of men, for their own souls, taken up with the things of this world rather than the Savior. Doesn't that make you cry, Lord? Don't leave me to myself. Huh? Don't leave me to my will. Don't leave me to my way. Huh? There's a way, right? There's a way that seems right unto man. And the end thereof are the ways of death. In the land of Gadarenes, they would have chose these pigs over our Lord. And that's surprising, but you know, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Consider what happened. Consider what happened at the cross. Consider what happened at Calvary. Huh? Who would you have I release unto you? Barabbas or the Lord Jesus Christ? And who did we all say? Huh? Release him. Release Barabbas. Huh? Away. What did they say of our Lord? And what we would all say. Away with him. Crucify him. Oh, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. It hated our Lord. And we cry with that same voice together, we'll not have this man to reign over us. In Luke 8, we read that in Luke's account that the whole, listen, it wasn't just a, you know, sometimes a small crowd makes a lot of noise, right? In Luke 8, we read that the whole multitude of the country asked him to depart, to go away. That was the desire of the people. In verse 18 of Mark 5, it says here that, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed of the devil prayed him. He prayed to the Lord that he might be with him. To be with Christ. David said this. He said, when my mother and my father forsake me, listen, those who are near and dear to this flesh, David said, when they forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The Lord, my shelter. The Lord, my strong tower. The Lord, my shepherd. The Lord, my deliverer. The Lord, my salvation. He said, I want to be with him. Paul, writing to the Philippians, he said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful to you. To be with him, to have his presence, to be near him, to have fellowship with him, to know him not just as a Savior, but to know him as my Savior, the Savior. Turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, look beginning with verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He said, I want to be with Christ. I want to be with him. Now, quickly, back to our text, Mark 5. Look at verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, listen here, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion. He said, go home, go back to your family, go back to your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, the people you work with, go to your friends and tell them, you know, we don't hesitate to tell people things, do we? I think if we're honest, we offer up, I can speak for myself, offer up advice on everything. Well, I think you ought to do this, or I think you ought to do that. I think this is where you ought to eat at, or this is where you ought to shop, or this is where you ought to travel to. I mean, it's just there's just no limit to the good advice we have, right? Our Lord said this. This would probably be a good rule for all of us. If we're going to tell somebody something, let's tell them this. Let's go tell what great things the Lord hath done for you. Huh? As a beggar that's found some bread, let's go tell somebody else where we found that. Huh? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Back in John chapter 6, our Lord, he met that woman at the well. Remember that Samaritan woman? And our Lord told her, he said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water, the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Boy, when she heard that, she said, "Give me that water. I won't have to come here and I won't have to draw water no more." And our Lord said, he said, "Go call your husband. Go call your husband." And she said, I don't have one. And he said, "Well, you've spoken well. You've spoken well, because he said, you've had five of them, and the one you're with right now isn't your husband." And if you remember the account of that woman, that later she made mention of the Messiah. And our Lord revealed himself. I believe our Lord revealed himself to her. And he said this. He said, "I that speak to thee am he." She was talking something about the Messiah. And he said, I'm standing right in front of you. And she ran to town. She was so excited. She left her water pot and she ran to town. And she said to the men of that town, she said, "Come see a man that told me all things that I ever did." And she said, is not this the Christ? Turn over there to John. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Look beginning with verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them." Well, the Gadarenes, they said, "Get back on the ship and get out of here," right? Huh? "When the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed, not because of what the woman had said, but because of his own word. And said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we've heard him ourselves, and know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Oh, that God might use us to tell others, huh, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in closing, consider this. What had the Lord done for this man? This Gadarene. Back there in Mark 5. Listen, that which he's done for all of his sheep. Huh? Great things he hath done. What great things hath he done? Well, listen, he's cast out all evil. He came to me. All of his sheep, he either comes to them, or he brings them to himself. Huh? He took away my... This Gadarene man could say this. He took away my sin and my shame. Hmm? He suffered and died on the cross. He shed his own blood. He alone bore my sin. The Lord Jesus Christ trod the winepress of God's wrath alone. He did it. Huh? He clothed me. What had he done for this man that was running naked? He clothed him. They found him clothed. He clothed me in his righteousness. He accomplished salvation. And listen, we're safe. Safe and secure in him. Truly. Truly, great things he hath done. And listen, it's personal, isn't it? Huh? Great things he hath done. He said, you go tell him what great things the Lord hath done for you. Huh? For me. What great things he hath done. And listen, and he hath had compassion. Huh? He hath had mercy on me. Look at verse 20 here of Mark 5. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Praise God. Truly, what manner of man is this? What great things he had done for his people. And again, that he might give us opportunity and a willingness and a desire to tell others what he's done for us. But thank God for his word. All right, Isaac, come lead us in a song.
Stand and sing 37.
God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.